Today we look at Surah Al-Fajr. But unfortunately, as we go along, I mean, the surahs are getting longer. I don't think it's sort of possible to do whole surahs in one sitting. So we'll divide the surah into inshallah. Now, as far as revelation is concerned, it is said this was revealed in Mecca. And nobody has given any sort of shan or nuzul as why, or cause, or incident on which it was revealed. Now, the message of this surah is actually what we were talking last time, that if we are here as human beings, not as gods, demigods. And it is when we try to overstep our bounds that all the troubles, difficulties, tribulations, scenes, or whatever you name it, starts to happen. It is very clearly said in the two main, the central ayahs of this surah make it very clear that that is the case, that we are not the center of the universe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And everything goes around according to His wishes and not our wishes. But we unfortunately at times forget this message and start to sort of live as gods, or try to act, think, and do everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supposed to do, not us. So the surah takes the name from this, the first ayah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wal Fajr. By the Fajr. Fajr is dawn. Originally Fajr comes from splitting or cracking, something splitting. And also, for example, when water gushes out, it is also the word is used. And in fact, some of the words which we are sort of also familiar, coming from the same root word as Fajr, for example, or Fujur, sin or wickedness, evil, the acts, that comes from the same thing also. I mean, when protection cracks and splits evilness, I mean, you go out of it, crack the bounds, crack the protective cover, go out, start doing sins. So Fajr is when the darkness splits and the light comes out, the starting of daybreak, dawn. When the sun sort of starts coming up, and the first we see the light, I mean, the first light that we see, Fajr. So by the dawn, or by the daybreak. Now in Quran and also in many other religious texts, I mean, Fajr has been given a very special sort of place. And it is also when a person thinks about it, as one poet has put it nicely, so this Fajr is like the breath of Allah, which Isa used to breathe into things and bring life into it. Because after all, every day in the morning, this Fajr has got the same breath of Allah. That is breath blown into everything. Everything comes to life from the dead of night. We are sort of semi-dead, and in the morning, I mean, this breath, or whatever that is in this Fajr, is blown into us, and we sort of come up. Everything that is living. Well, Fajr. By the morning, by the dawn. Now there are mufassirs, as we'll see later on, I mean, to sort of tie up with the later ayahs, they have said that this is not sort of talking about any dawn or any daybreak of the any first part of the day, but it is specifically to do with the first part of the first day of Dhul Hijjah, the month of Hajj, or the last month in the Islamic calendar, because they sort of tie up the rest of the ayahs as well with that month. Though others have said means the first of the year, that is the first day of Muharram. Others have said whatever, I mean, but there is nothing in the ayah itself, nor any strong indications in the hadith which would point to that. Wa layalin ash. Layal is plural of night, it's nights. Layalin ash, the 10 nights. So that's why they have said this Fajr is of Dhul Hijjah, because they say that these 10 nights or 10 nights and days, I mean, when you say nights, it doesn't necessarily mean only the night, but days also associated with it. Wa layalin ash, and the 10 nights, by the 10 nights, these 10 nights are the first 10 nights of Dhul Hijjah. The other Mufassirs have said, I mean, this is because they want to sort of tie this thing up with some important 10 nights that they can see in the Islamic calendar. So others have said that these are the last 10 days of Ramadan. And as you can sort of see, or the natural inclination of some of the staunch Shias who later, after, I mean, 10 days of Muharram have become significant. Because in the early days there were 10 days of Muharram were no significance, only the 10th of Muharram which has some significance. But anyway, so they say that this also refers to the 10 nights, so the 10 first nights of Muharram. Well, there is very little evidence for this at all. Most evidence, or even some of the hadith that point to the 10 first 10 nights of Dhul Hijjah. The Prophet has been quoted as saying that they have got special sort of place in Islam, and any work that is done in these 10 nights has got sort of manifold reward for it, and so on and so forth. They have got a special place in the Islamic calendar. The first 10 nights of Dhul Hijjah. وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ, in the 10 nights, and by the 10 nights. وَالشَّفْءِ وَالْوَتْرِ. Shaf, and one of the words which we all are familiar with, comes from the same root word as shifa. Shaf is to sort of couple something, take something and put it on its own, like to sort of make it a pair or a couple. And so sort of from it comes shaf, literally then means even, and watr, whole. Now what is this? What shaf'i wal watr? By the even and by the odd. So which even, or which thing that is even that Quran is talking about here, or which one which is single? Mufassirs have differed like anything, showing that they themselves don't know. I mean, the meaning is obvious, it's even and odd, and there is nothing hidden in the meaning. But which even and odd, all Mufassirs have sort of taken their own ways, and some have said that because this is to do with the Hijjah, and it's got some significance of Hajj, then Shaf is the hilltop or hillocks of Shafa and Marwa, and Wat is the house itself, that is the base itself, or the Kaaba itself, single one, and these are two hillocks. Others have said it means the 9th and the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. 9th is the odd one, and the Shaf is the 10th one, which is the even number. So applies to 10th, and so on and so forth. They have sort of sat down and sort of tried to find out where they can see even, they apply it to it, and wherever they find something that is old, they apply it to it. Even some have gone so far and said it means the whole creation, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we have created everything in pairs, that is shaf, and He Himself is what? So that is the whole creation is taken care of by these two, even in the odd. Things are either even or either in pairs or in singles. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسْرٍ. By the night when it passes, when it departs, when it goes. Yes literally comes from Sara Yasri. Means Sara is to travel in the night. And one of the other words which we are familiar, Isra, actually comes from there as well. The same root word, traveling by night. And Sara Yasri then sort of comes into sense by just to move ahead, to travel, to pass. Well, Layli Iza Yasri. And by the night when it passes, it moves ahead, goes ahead, it passes. And maybe that ties up with the first, when the night, that is, the night is associated with darkness and evil and things we don't know and things we don't understand. When we are in darkness, I mean, that is, in fact, we are not afraid of the darkness, but it is what we are afraid of is our ignorance. And that's why also ignorance itself is sort of termed as darkness. And this night when it goes away, when evil, when it goes away, what follows evil, what follows the night is Fajr, daybreak, when light starts to come, truth starts to appear. هَلْ فِي ذَٰلِكَ قَسَمٌ لِذِي حِجْرٍ. هَلْ فِي ذَٰلِكَ, is there in that, that is in this qasam, in these oaths, these vows. Is there a qasam li zi hijr? Li zi is, as you know, zi, za, zu, means somebody possessed me. Hijr, originally coming from refrain, prevention. Hijram mahjura, something that is prohibited, you are prevented from doing. But then coming also sort of applying to aql or intelligence. Because intelligence is something that prevents you from doing bad things, that refrains you from doing everything and everything, but only doing the right, what you think is right. In fact, in Arabic, most of the words which are applied to intelligence, like aql, aql al-ba'ir, for example, is to tie the camel up, to refrain it from roaming around, from moving away. As there is this famous hadith of the Prophet, tie the camel and then have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't sort of leave it alone and then have tawakkul, but tie it. The word used is the same word coming from this akala, meaning to refrain. And because sense or intelligence refrains one from doing everything, doing evil. So here also, lizi hijr, everybody said hijr, here is intelligence, the place or the faculty which we have of thinking, of contemplating. هَلْ فِي ذَٰلِكَ قَسَمٌ لِذِي حِجْرٍ. Is there in that oath for those who possess intelligence, for those who are thinking people or person? Now I don't want to, I mean my aim here is only to give you the literal meaning and something that comes from hadith, it is strong. The qeel and qaal of the Mufassirs, or what the Mufassirs have said, is similar to what we say and what you can think of. I mean, there is nothing, no reason that you cannot think of similar things that they have thought of, unless they have any specific proof or reason for choosing one. I mean, why should we sort of follow them in their what they have chosen, what they have said, unless they present certain proofs, which they haven't for it. And it seems that they are all confused. No one knows exactly what these oaths are. I mean, okay, the literal meaning is clear. Anybody knows Arabic. But what they tie up or what their significance is, everybody has had a lot of guesswork and they have tied it to everything they can sort of see fit. Now then, the message starts. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ. أَلَمْ تَرَ, didn't you see, كَيْفَ فَعَلَ, how acted, behaved, what did رَبُّكَ, your Lord, how your Lord acted, بِعَاد, with عَاد. عَاد is the tribe of عَاد, which is mentioned formally in the Quran. It says that there was this tribe which was sort of, or civilization in Yemen or some place in Yemen. I don't know, because Yemen is not mentioned in the Quran, but Ad, the tribe, is mentioned. And because also the next one is sort of related with the thing, they said there was people who had a very big civilization and built tall, big castles with columns. I mean, those columns you have seen in the Roman thing, ruins and all these things, similar sort of things. So the next ayah says, Iram Zatil Imad. Iram Zatil Imad. Imad is column, pillar. Zatil Imad, something that has got lots of columns. Iram, now what is Iram? Mufassirs are sort of do not agree. Some say that Iram was the grant for the main person from which Ad came, so that he was the person that everybody sort of related. Ad was the children of Iram. Iram is, and some of the Mufassirs say that he was the grandson of Noah and whatever. I mean, I don't want to go into that. People who want to go and look up this thing. Others, the difference is that the others have said, no, Iram is actually the city or the place where actually Ad lived. And Iram Azatil Imad is Iram, the city or the place with lots of pillars. Those will say that he is the grandfather of this tribe. Said, Bi'adin Iram Arati, that is Iram, these people who had lots of pillars. So either you say the city had lots of pillars, or these people or people had possessed these dwellings, these places but which had lots of pillars. And others have gone and taken a sort of totally different meaning, saying that these people were very tall, like pillars. So that's why they were called sort of people with lots of pillars, strong and tall, and sort of pillars being the meaning of strength. But anyway, what comes out from the eye is clear, that these were people who had a civilization which, this civilization had some sort of might and greatness. And in fact, the one regarding sort of buildings, huge buildings, comes up sort of first to the mind when you read it. And this was such allati lam yukhlaq mithluha fil bilad, and this also ties up with this huge column or pier buildings with huge pillars. Allati lam yukhlaq, the like of which was not created. Lam yukhlaq mithluha, like of it was not created fil bilad, in the land, in other balad, plural of balad, land, places, in the land. This was unique. I mean, there were so great buildings that the likes of it were not created. These people were so mighty, so powerful, they created all these buildings. وَثَمُودَ الَّذِي جَابُ الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ. And then it talks about another set of people, Thamud. Thamud is the people of Saleh, as the Quran sort of other places says. They also had a civilization. It is said that their civilization was based in and they were sort of very competent, professional in digging out things from the rocks, either carving or digging their dwellings out of rocks, as you can see in, I don't know, to this place in Jordan called Petra, something like that comes to mind when you talk about it. These were the people who knew and were very clever in these huge mountains, rocks, they carved it out, their dwellings for other things. ثمود الذي جابوا. جابوا is to cut. And جيب, for example, also comes from the same root word, which we use quite often in our Arabic lessons. جابوا is to cut. جابوا الصخر. جابا. And جابوا is the plural. جابوا الصخرة. They cut the rocks. بالواد. In the valleys. So these were another people. Haven't you seen Ad, ثمود, and the next one, the famous one, and Fir'aun. وَفِرْعَوْنَ ذِي الْأَوْتَادِ. And Fir'aun, the possessor of Awtad. Awtad comes from Watan. Watan is actually a peg. A peg you put in the ground. And Awtad is the plural of that. So why is Fir'aun known as ذِي الْأَوْتَادِ, the possessor of pegs? It is said that because and there are different opinions of Mufassir here as well. Some say that Awtad literally means pegs, I mean, because pegs, we have got lots of pegs or something like poles or so, and some would say that pyramids are sort of like pegs. They put the pegs in the ground, pyramids in the ground. It doesn't sort of tie up very well. We have got some hadith from Imam Jafar Sadiq saying that known as Zil Awtad here is because when they used to punish the people, this Fir'aun and his regime, then used to something like crucify them, put him down on the ground or on a trunk, and then peg his hands and feet to the ground. So that's why they are not, that is pegs, these pegs, people of pegs, possessive pegs. Anyway, the main given is that here are three people who are very great, very huge civilization. And it is funny that when we look at historical point of view, then we admire these people, we praise these people, they were great artists, they were great civilizations, they had great organizations, they had beautiful houses, huge houses, gardens, slaves, civilization which sort of makes you sort of breath, leaves you breathless, even now when you go and see the ruins. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't look at it from this angle, Islam looks at it from another angle. These people say, or here they are great. But what did they do? It doesn't describe a civilization. Allazi tagaw fil bilad. These were the people who taga. Coming from taga is to go over the board, go over the bound, the limits that have been set. The limit of being human beings, as I said last time, we are human beings and we have to live as human beings. When we exceed this bound, try to be gods, then the trouble starts. These people actually exceeded this limit. الَّذِي تَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ. They exceeded the rebels, they transgressed the limit in the lands. فَأَكْثَرُ فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ. And the result of this was فَأَكْثَرُ. They increased, they multiplied. فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ. Fasad is corruption. Even fasada comes from something sort of cracking, and fasada the tamr is when the tamr sort of has got this covering, the date, and when it ripens the covering breaks. So breaking of the covering, so breaking of the limits that are set for you, then you do fasad. Corruption is everything that is beyond the limit. And the increased corruption or multiplied corruption, iniquity in the lands, they started acting like gods. They started sort of imposing their wills on people, on natural resources, on everything. They started acting like gods instead of living like human beings within the limits that are for, set for them. They transgressed those limits and started living like gods, imposing their will on everything, doing whatever they wished. So what then happened? Fasabba. Sabba literally means to pour. Sabba al-ma. If he poured the water. Fasabba alayhim rabbuka. So poured over them your Lord sawta azab. Sawt literally means here what you call a whip. Sawta azab is the whip of punishment. So others have said that it means sort of severe punishment. But I mean literally if you look the meaning, it is like as if Allah sort of poured on them. This punishment he gave was not sort of a single punishment. It's not some, like throwing a stone or something. It is like pouring water. It comes continuously. He poured over them this punishment of his. And this is always the case because إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِلْ مِرْصَادِ. Verily your Lord, Labil Mirsad. Mirsad coming from Rasada. Rasada is to watch, to guard, to look over. And also means, I mean, and this is the meaning actually given here. It means to lie in wait for somebody. To lie in wait for ambushing somebody. You see, when you want to ambush whatever, caravan, people passing, you are in a higher ground or a ground when you can see them but they can't see you. And when they come in right position, you suddenly come up onto them and strike them, you ambush them, they are caught unaware. Mirsad is a place where somebody is staying or lying in wait for, watching the movements, lying in wait so they can pounce on it at the right time when they come near. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِلْ مِرْصَادِ. Verily your Lord is in such a, he is watching over you. And when you do wrong, when you are doing wrong, you are not aware, but he comes and pounces over you. His azab comes to you and wipes you out. And there is a nice sort of saying in history, there was one of the ashabs of the Prophet, one of the caliphs told him, this man was saying, oh Allah will do this and Allah. He said, you idiot, where is your Lord? And this man replied nicely, said, إِنَّ رَبِّي لَبِلْ مِرْصَادِ. In fact, bringing, quoting this ayah. That verily my Lord is waiting, is watching and waiting, as if waiting for ambush, to ambush somebody, to pounce on somebody when they are unaware. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِلْ مِرْصَادِ. And this is the case. Human beings don't know that when they exceed, they may think that, no, everything is fine. And as many people have said, the worst act or the worst punishment of Allah is let you think that what you are doing is good when it is bad. This is the worst punishment. There can be no worse punishment than that. But when a person does bad, he thinks he is doing good, then there is no stopping. And surely the punishment of Allah will follow. Now, the other two ayahs, I think, are the central ayahs of this surah, and also sort of showing this point that even yesterday, last time I was sort of spent the whole time, that we are human beings, but we have got this tendency to think that the world goes around us. It doesn't go around Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His wishes, but around our wishes. We are the center of everything. If we are happy, the whole world is happy. And if we are sad, the whole world is sad. If something happens to us, the whole world is, it has got something against us. If something happens good to us, then we think the whole world is in our favor and smiling at us. But this is not the case. The center is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not us. فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانِ As for men, إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ When Allah ibtala, from bala, the same sort of root word, to test, to put to trial, so that to see how he sort of fails in it. إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ When his Lord tries him. Now two cases are mentioned here. In a trial you are either put in a good position or a bad position to see that how you act. فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَّمَهُ And he is honored or he is given a lot of goods. To be kareem is to be generous. To give without any bounds. Akrama also means not only sort of giving things, but also honoring somebody is also ikram, sort of to honor, to have somebody in high respect. I mean, maybe the two are sort of related, that when you think somebody is high and you hold him in honor, then you will give him whatever you have got. فَأَكْرَمَهُ And he sort of gives him, he is generous with him. وَنَعْأَمَهُ And gives him his bounties. Then this man thinks, فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا And he thinks that, oh, Allah has honored me, I am great, I must be something. Because I have got all these things, so I must be good. Otherwise, why would I get all these things? So here he is, I mean, when good comes his way, he thinks the whole world is sort of working for him, and it is for him, and that he is the center. Everything is good, Allah sort of thinks. Allah is also working for him as if everything that he has been given is because he deserves it. And the other case, وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ And when he, and as for when he tries him, فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَقَدَرَ And he tightens. As many places in the Quran this word is used, as far as the risk is called, يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ بَسَّطَ is to open, قَدَرَ is to tighten. فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ And his risk, his means of sustenance. Our risk is everything, whether material or health, wealth, intelligence, all these things are part of Allah's risk. Happiness itself, and all these things that you can think of. And his sustenance, or his risk is tightened, becomes less. Then he says, فَيَقُولُ رَبِّ أَحَانًا Then he says that, oh, my Lord despises me. Because I am sad, it must be that he doesn't like me. When I am happy, it is because he likes me. But the next time, which we shall go later on, I mean, and do the latter half, clearly says that this is not the case. This is only half of the picture, and you are only looking at yourself as the central position, that things are bad for you, the whole world is bad. Allah is sort of not happy with you or whatever. And if it's good, it's Allah is. This is not the case. This world is a place of trial and tribulation. Material and all these things are for. If Allah has given it to you, you have to be thankful, not sort of act as the people before you acted, like Ab and Samud and Fir'aun. Don't be like that. And when you don't have anything, you have to be patient. Things are not going to work out your way. Now that does not mean that many people think that we sort of have to take it, and many people have thought it that way, that then we have to take it whatever comes, working for it or trying to change things has got no meaning. This is not the picture that I want to draw, but the thing is that you can think of a very big circle, huge circle, infinite circle, and you have got a small circle. You can work within it, and that is within that you can do anything. That is what your powers are. You can't go beyond that thing. So within that power, you can work, and Allah has given it, and you cannot, in fact, ever go across the bounds that Allah doesn't want you to cross. You must remember, if we are doing something, Allah has given us the power to do it. We are not sort of defeating Allah, and Allah has not been defeated in His creation. As the Quran says quite a few times, don't let this disbelievers think that they have sort of put Allah's power, sort of undermine His power, that they are doing something that He doesn't allow or not allowed, His hasn't given them the power to do it. They have sort of mastered this power. People say we capture nature or we are fighting against nature. That is not true. It is nothing like, you can never do anything that Allah hasn't given you the power to do. You can never even think of it. If Allah has sort of given you the power, you can only think, do things that Allah has given you the power. And this is the sphere that we have to live in. Not that we know all the time, we know the boundaries of this sphere, but that is all our duty is, to live within that boundary. Now that is within an infinite circle, which is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the realm and the domain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the meaning of tawakkul, that we do what we can do within this circle. Many other things which are beyond us, we have to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why I got in that and the camel could die, could be robbed, could be the ropes could break, and millions of other things which you don't know, we have no power on. That is okay, you have to rely on Allah. And sabr is similar. Act within those powers that Allah has given you, the circle, the domain that you are supposed to work in. And then, if it is beyond that, then there is nothing you can do, and you have to rely on Allah, and have good opinion of Allah, and be patient. And that is sabr, that is tawakkul. Coming from the same thing, we have got a place. Allah wants us to live as human beings and not as gods. Even if we try to, we cannot live as gods. We will only create a mess as was created by these people. They will create a mess and the end will not be a good end. Now another thing which we must remember, Allah says that we destroyed these people, but He also destroyed the good people. I mean, they are not living. They are also gone. So He never says that we destroyed the good people, or never in the Quran has He ever said that we destroyed these good people. Always the bad people have been destroyed. But even the good people have gone away, passed. I mean, they are not even left in this world. It is because those people they thought that this was the thing, this was their life. They put their faith, everything they had in here. When it's destroyed, they are destroyed. Whereas the good people did not put that way. This was only part of their life. The later part, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah gave it to them, they have found it, or will be given to them, however you look at it. So they haven't lost everything. This is clear from Surah Al-Asr, that those who believe and do good deeds, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala builds something equal for them there. And this life, when it goes away, not totally lost. We'll stop here and inshallah look at the later part next time, or the week after next. So, any questions or comments?
How do you relate
to the process? Yeah, this is exactly what I said. I couldn't find any person giving anything that was tying up. All of them said that most of them have taken, most of them to relate to Hajj and Dhul Hijjah. And they said that means that prayer and worshipping Allah somehow sort of ties it up with the second sort of group of ayahs where it is said that these people are not worshipping Allah. And that sort of shows you some important act of worship of Allah. But to my mind, I mean, I couldn't find any act. That's why I didn't. I mean, let you sort of have your own thoughts. But I couldn't find any Mufassir giving a very well defined sort of link between these customs and the rest of them. To be honest, I couldn't find. I looked at quite a few, nobody has come up with good sort of link, explanation as to how this links with. Yeah, well, the good people, if they are, I mean, good people, when I mean, for example, not the good people of Iran, but the good people died, I mean, they were living on their side, they haven't survived.
Good people never had any good civilization.
I don't think so. Could be, sort of. Janmari, yes. But there were people like Suleiman and others who said, but they were destroyed.